So let's review. Our shiur began with the following brisa. Tanya, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol shesha shleishim yoyim ba'adam ein a nefel. If a baby survives 30 days, it is not a nefel, but a viable child. We learn this from the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, where it's written, Ufiduyev mi ben chay deshtifta. Your firstborn son shall be redeemed at the age of 1 month after 30 days. The Gemara points out, the implication is that if the baby did not survive for 30 days, its status remains in doubt of possibly being a nefel. If so, how can we ever make a bris on Shabbos, since there's a possibility that the baby will turn out to be non-viable and we would have been mechal Shabbos unnecessarily? Rav Adam Hava answers that we may do the bris because if he is a viable baby, there is a mitzvah to do the bris. And if he is not a viable baby, he's like a dead body which may be cut on Shabbos. The same reasoning would permit doing the bris of a Safik ben Zayin, Safik ben Ches, a baby of whom we're not sure if he was born in the 7th or 8th month of pregnancy. However, Machshire Mila, the preparations for the bris Mila, would not be permitted, even according to Reb Eliezer, who generally permits Machshire Mila on Shabbos because this baby may not be viable, which would make the malachas done in preparation of the Mila unnecessary Chil Shabbos. Rashi adds that indeed Reb Eliezer permits Machshire Mila on Shabbos only in the case of Kol Lechadashev, where we are certain that he's a full-term baby of 9 months. Once we mentioned the idea that a nefel is considered to be dead, the Gemara quotes a brisa which can be understood in two ways, each of which relate to whether a nefel is considered dead while it is still alive. The Tanakhama holds that a ben shmoinen, an animal born in the 8th month of pregnancy, and therefore a nefel, ein shchitasei mitarasei. The slaughtering will not make it tahar from the Tumah of Nevela, but Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon hold Shchitasim mitarasei. The Shchita accomplishes to prevent Tumas Nevela from the animal. Abaye understands the Machlokes as follows. The Tanakhama holds a nefel is considered already dead. Therefore, the Shchita is inconsequential. Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon hold the nefel is considered alive. So the Shchita is effective to remove the Tumas status. Rava understands that both opinions agree that a nefel is considered dead. The reason that Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon hold that the Shechita takes away the Tumah is that it's similar to a Trefa, which is also considered dead, yet Shechita takes away the potential Tumas Nevela. The Rabbanu did not think it is similar to a Trefa, since a Trefa is Yesh Bemina Shechita. Other animals of the same kind can be Shechted, whereas a Nefel, Ein Bemina Shechita, no animal born in the 8th month can be Shechted. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel also taught in the Braisa, Shmoinas Yamim Bebehema Ein Nefel. An animal which survives 8 days is certainly not a nefel. It may not be shechted earlier because it's a suffolk nefel. The Gemara proves from a brisa that the Rabbanan disagree with Rav Shimon Gamliel and think that even a one-day-old animal may be shechted and eaten. Abai clarifies the machlekes of Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanan regarding a child. Kishapihek v'meis. If the child yawned and died suddenly, and Rashi adds that the child was weak from birth, even the Rabbanan would agree that we assume it to have been a nefel. If it fell from a roof or was eaten by a lion, or for that matter, any other unnatural form of death, is where we have the machlokes. Shimon Gamliel holds we must still be concerned perhaps the child was a nefel, underdeveloped. The Rabbanan hold that if there were no signs of weaknesses, we have no reason to be concerned and we assume it was a viable child. Kol Olei Chadashev, where we are certain that he's a full-term baby of 9 months, all agree that we assume the child to have been viable. The Gemara then relates two stories of Amiraim, whose children died within 30 days of their birth, and they observed Avelis for them. They each said, Kimli Bigavei Shekal Lechadashim, I'm certain that this baby was carried to full term. The Gemara proceeds with a related halacha. Itma, Meis Betech Shleishim Yoim, V'amda V'niskadshim, a woman whose husband died leaving her with an only child, a newborn baby, accepted kedushin from another man based on the assumption that she does not have to do chalitza because her husband left a child. Then, this child died within 30 days of its birth. Now, generally speaking, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, she has to do chalitza because we consider the child a possible nefel, which means the deceased husband left no children. According to the Rabbanan, she does not need to do chalitza because we do consider the child viable at the time of the husband's death. In our case, we should already accept the kedushin from another man. Ravina says in the name of Rabba, Im Eshus Yisrael hi chalitzas. If her new husband is a Yisrael, we are machmal like Rav Shimon Gamliel and require her to do chalitza and then marry the second husband. The chalitza causes no problem because the Yisrael is mutter b'chalutza. He may marry a woman who did chalitza. If our new husband is a kayin, We rely on the Rabbanan, and she does not have to do chalitza. If we would require her to do chalitza, she would not be able to go on and marry the second husband because a kayin is asr b'chalitza. He may not marry a woman who did chalitza. It's asr midrabbanan because it's similar to a grusha, a divorced woman. Rav Sharavi rejected this approach because he holds that the halacha clearly follows Rav Shimon Gamliel and she must do chalitza in all cases, regardless of the consequences. He said to Ravina, Shiritua yehi rava de tishru tarba. It should be Hashem's will that you will permit forbidden fat to be eaten as well, suggesting that this psak is the equivalent of allowing forbidden fat. The Gemara now explains that which we learned in the previous Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda mata b'androgynus. Rabbi Yehuda permits doing a bris on an androgynous on Shabbos. Rav Chisda points out that this does not mean that Rabbi Yehuda considers an androgynous to be a male regarding other halachas. On the contrary, with regard to erichin, evaluation based on age and gender, and kiddush meichatas, preparing the waters for the paraduma ashes, Rabbi Yehuda does not consider an androgynous to be a male. Only with regard to bris milah, where the Torah says himalachem kol zachar, he learns from the word kol that even an androgynous is included.